There had to be a simple connection I wasn't making, a sly reference that I still wasn't clever or knowledgeable enough to catch. Since then, I'd failed to make any more progress. Every time I revisited the quatrain, my ongoing infatuation with Artemis would undermine my ability to focus, and before long, I would close my Grail diary and call her up to see if she wanted to hang out. She almost always did. I convinced myself that it was all right to slack off a bit, because no one else seemed to be making any progress in their search for the Jade Key. The scoreboard remained unchanged. Everyone else seemed to be just as stumped as I was. As the weeks continued to pass, Artemis and I spent more and more time together. Even when our avatars were doing other things, we were sending emails and instant messages to each other. A river of words flowed between us. I wanted more than anything to meet her in the real world, face to face. But I didn't tell her this. I was certain she had strong feelings for me, but she also kept me at a distance. No matter how much I revealed about myself to her, and I wound up revealing just about everything, including my real name, she always adamantly refused to reveal any details about her own life. All I knew was that she was 19 and that she lived somewhere in the Pacific Northwest. That was all she would tell me. The image of her that formed in my mind was the most obvious one. I pictured her as a physical manifestation of her avatar. I imagined her with the same face, eyes, hair, and body. Even though she told me repeatedly that in reality she looked almost nothing like her avatar and that she wasn't nearly as attractive in person. When I began to spend most of my time with Artemis, H and I began to grow apart. Instead of hanging out several times a week, we chatted a few times a month. H knew I was falling for Artemis, but he never gave me too much grief about it, even when I would bail on him at the last minute to hang out with her instead. He would just shrug, tell me to be careful, and say, "I sure hope you know what you're doing, Z." I didn't, of course. My whole relationship with Artemis was in defiance of all common sense. But I couldn't help falling for her. Somehow, without my realizing it, my obsession with finding Halliday's Easter egg was gradually being supplanted by my obsession with Artemis. Eventually, she and I began to go out on dates, taking day trips to exotic oasis locales and exclusive night spots. At first, Artemis protested. She thought I should keep a low profile, because as soon as my avatar was spotted in public, the Sixers would know that their attempt to kill me had failed and I'd be back on their hit list. But I told her I no longer cared. I was already hiding from the Sixers in the real world, and I refused to continue hiding from them in the Oasis, too. Besides, I had a 99th level avatar now. I felt nigh invincible. Maybe I was just trying to impress Artemis by acting fearless. If so, I think it worked. We still disguised our avatars before we went out, because we knew there would be tabloid headlines galore if Parzival and Artemis started showing up in public together on a regular basis. But there was one exception. One night, she took me to see the Rocky Horror Picture Show in a huge, stadium-sized movie theater on the planet Transsexual, where they held the most highly attended and longest-running weekly screening of the movie in the Oasis. Thousands of avatars came to every show to sit in the stands and revel in the audience participation. Normally, only long-standing members of the Rocky Horror Fan Club were permitted to get up on stage and help act out the film in front of the giant movie screen, and only after they'd passed a grueling audition process. But Artemis used her fame to pull a few strings, and she and I were both allowed to join the cast for that night's show. The whole planet was in a no PvP zone, so I wasn't worried about getting ambushed by the Sixers. But I did have a serious case of stage fright when the show began. Artemis played a note-perfect Columbia, and I had the honor of playing her undead love interest, Eddie. I altered my avatar's appearance so that I looked exactly like Meatloaf did in the role, but my performance and lip-syncing still kind of sucked. Luckily, the audience cut me a lot of slack because I was the famous Gunter Parzival, and I was clearly having a blast. That night was easily the most fun I'd ever had in my life up to that point. I told Artemis so afterward, and that was when she leaned over and kissed me for the first time. I couldn't feel it, of course, but it still set my heart racing. I'd heard all the cliched warnings about the perils of falling for someone you only knew online, but I ignored them. I decided that whoever Artemis really was, I was in love with her. I could feel it, deep in the soft, chewy caramel center of my being. And then, one night, like a complete idiot, I told her how I felt.